Okay, so what I want to talk about today is I want to talk about what's the purpose of recalling Har Sinai at this stage in, and like, why does Moshe retell the story of Sinai to this new generation, right? There's the old generation witnessed Har Sinai. These people were the people Moshe is speaking to at the end of his life were children at Har Sinai. So why is he telling them about the whole Sinai experience? So we'll read some psukim, and I think there's actually a difference as to what the reason is between Devarim Perek Daled and Devarim Perek Hey. So we're going to read some psukim from Devarim Perek Daled, and we'll get one picture, I believe, and then we'll read other psukim from Perek Hey, and I think we'll get a totally different picture. So in Perek Daled pasuk tes. So there, the Torah says, Moshe tells Bnei Yisrael, Raki shomer lecha shmor nafshcha ma'od, pen tishkach es hadvarim asher ro'einecha, ufen yosur milvavecha, milvavcha kol yimecha yecha, v'odat l'vanecha v'vanecha. Don't forget, and don't remove from your heart all the days of your life, the following. What should you never forget? Yom asher amanata lifnei Hashem lokecha b'chorev, the day that you stood before God at Sinai, Be'amor Hashem Eli, when God said to me, Hakel Yisra'am Hashmiyam Estvarai, Shemidin Liro Si, Kol Yimim, Asher Himchaim Al-Dama, Vespim Yalamedu. So the day that you stood at Sinai. Don't forget the day that you stood at Har Sinai. This question is, why shouldn't you forget it? So, Pazigir Aleph at the Kirun Vatam Dun Tachasahar. You stood under the mountain Vahar Bo'er Va'esh, and the mountain was burning in fire. Adleva Shemaim, Choshech Adan Va'Rafel. There was fire, there was also darkness, clouds. And by the Ber Hashem Alecha Mitocha Eish, Hashem spoke to you from the fire. Kol Dvarim Atem Shomim, you heard sounds of words. Utmuna Ein Chemroim Zulasi Kol. You didn't see anything, you only heard something. Ve'agei Lachem Es Briso Asher Tzivu Aschem Lasot Aseres Hadvarim Ve'achtim Ashnei Luchos Avadim. So he commanded you about the Ten Commandments, the Ten Things, the Ten Commandments with two tablets. Vosi and he commanded me at that time to teach you different laws to do them. Okay, so far he said Har Sinai was the time he gave you the mitzvos. You heard a sound, you didn't see anything, and the very next pasuk says, the next few pasukim, you should be careful. Why should you be careful? Because just remember, you didn't see any picture, any image when Hashem spoke with you. Pen tashchisun, lest you, I guess, act in a destructive and wicked way. V'asisim lochem pesel tmunas kol samel, tamni zachar nekeva. You make some kind of image, a man or a woman. Tavnis called Behema Shabar, Tavnis called Tzipor, Kodav Shertuf Bashamayim. Maybe you'll make the form of an animal or a bird. Tavnis called Komeis Babadama, Tavnis called Dagash Shabayim, Mitach Zorot. Maybe you'll make a picture of an image of something that crawls on the ground or fish. Upentisa Inecha Shamayim, Arisa Hashem Vesirech Vachomim. Right? Maybe you'll lift your heads up to the heaven, you'll see the sun, the moon, the stars, and you're going to serve them. Vadatam, you're going to serve them. Right? So why do you think, and let's think about this. In this section, Hashem, Moshe tells the Bnei Yisrael about the Har Sinai experience, and then he warns them about making images. What do you think the purpose from Perek Daled of Moshe telling Bnei Yisrael about Har Sinai? What's the message? What do you think the message is then, based on what we just read? What part of the Sinai experience did you not forget? Yeah? What do you think? How is it connected to what he just commanded them? Any thoughts?
I think the experience was the one that, the awesomeness of seeing, of hearing Hashem, where there was trepidation, where they didn't really see anything, but,
right.
You know, they experienced it, and they had to back up because it was so... And maybe they're afraid that now they're going to have to supplement that or to substitute with something that they can physically connect to.
Okay, so there's clearly a connection, I think, between the Sinai experience and the fact that they are not allowed to use anything, they're not allowed to think that anything physical is some divine being or worthy of prayer. And it's interesting, Dave, your perspective was that maybe they're afraid maybe Moshe's leaving, or maybe they need to supplement that. I think that's true. I would add that Lori, yeah.
Is it because of the Cheder Edel?
What do you mean the Cheder? Because of Cheder,
after Har Sinai, I hear already right away that Cheder Edel.
Right. So he doesn't mention it right now. I think that's maybe in the back of his mind a little bit. That, you know, to corroborate with Dave's point, you know, that there was this, that settlers and people are afraid. They need to pray to something, worship something that's very tangible. And I think that's correct. But I think the main point of the Sinai experience is what he says, what? Lo ra'isem kol tmuna. You didn't see a picture, right? Or also like in Pasuk Yud Beis, he says, kol dvar matem shemim utmuna einchem ro'im. Remember the Sinai experience? It was not physical. I want you never to forget that. You're about to enter into a land where they're all worshiping physical items. They're all worshiping physical things. And it's natural to want to connect with something physical, right? And to worship something physical. Remember the Sinai experience, that you heard something, but just because you heard something, it doesn't mean that it was something that you could see, right? This is the interaction with God, who has no body, right? One of the foundational principles of our belief is that God ein lo demus haguf, ein lo guf, that God does not have a body. God is not corporeal at all. And I think, at least in Perek Dalet, Moshe is reminding them this about the Sinai experience. And just remember, right, when you want to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, your attitude to serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have to remember the Sinai experience. There was only a sound, but there was no image. I just think it's fascinating because I think in Perek Hay, that's my read of this. I mean, I think it's because immediately after it says no physical, no fetzel, no tmuna, and he just talks about the, you know, about Har Sinai. There was a sound, but there was no picture. But if you look in Perek Hay, Moshe also talks about the Sinai experience, and there I think it's something different. There, this is Perek Hay. Now, this is another speech. Perek Hay is the beginning of like a 20-chapter speech. It's the longest drasha, longer than I will ever give, or that I have ever given. It goes from like Perek Hay, I think, to Perek, maybe even Chav Zayin. Like it goes, it's like 20 chapters long, okay? Hopefully they had a few candies to eat, you know, while they're listening to the drasha. But so Moshe calls to all B'nai Israel, and he says, listen to the Chukim Mishpatim that I'm speaking to you. Okay, then in Pasuk Beis, Hashem Elokeinu Karasi Mono Bris Bechorev, Hashem entered into a covenant with us. Lo es avoseinu karas Hashem es habris hazos ki itadu anachnu ela po hayom kulanu chayim. It wasn't with our ancestors, it was with you, with us, as they were kids. But Moses reminding them, it was directly. Panim bepanim diber Hashem imachem bahar mitoch eish. It was face to face. It's very different. There, it focuses on the interpersonal, the closeness, panim b'panim. The last parak was about, you heard a voice, but you didn't, you heard a voice, but you didn't see anything. Here, it's focusing on the personal, panim b'panim. And look what he says in Pasuk Hey, Anochi omeid ben Hashem uveinechem. I stood between God and between you, ba'esi lagid lachem z'dvar Hashem. Why? Ki Yireisem, because you were afraid, Mipnei Ha'esh, you were afraid of the fire. That's interesting that Moshe is saying this. And then he goes into the Seres Adibros. But he's saying, I stood between God and you. You know why? Because you were afraid. And you didn't want to go up the mountain. Is that why Bnei Yisrael didn't go up to the mountain? Anyone remember from Parshas Yisro why Bnei Yisrael didn't go up to the mountain? Was it because they were afraid?
They were told not to.
They were told not to. Who said that?
I did.
Oh, Howie. Okay. I didn't know who I was. Okay. So, right. If you look in, let's see if I find this here. If you look in, right. So I'm going to make it a little bit bigger. In Shmos, I'm going to make it a little bigger. In Shmos Yud Tes, Pasuk Yud Beis and Pasuk Yud Gimel. Hashem is telling Moshe, V'igbalta es ha'am saviv le'mor. You should make a boundary with the people around the mountain saying, Hishamu lachem alos bahar. Be careful not to go up the mountain. Unagoa bikotseu, and touch the edge of it. Called Ogeh Bahar Moshimas, anyone who touches it will surely die. Lo sigaboya, don't touch it. Right? And so it's very clear that in Parshas Yisro, when it happened, maybe they were also afraid. I'm not saying they weren't afraid, but there Hashem said, don't do it. But here Moshe is focusing on the fact that they were afraid, meaning what? Had they not been afraid, they would have been allowed to have that very close personal connection with Klal Yisrael. In other words, and then what happens? That after the Ten Commandments, then the Torah says, when Moshe is retelling what happened, he says in Pasuk Yotes, he says, Esedvar Ma'ela, Diber Hashem El Kol Kalchem Bahar Mitoch Eish Anan, Va'rafel, Kol Gadol Vol Yosef. So Hashem said all these things to you all, and there was a lot of the cloud, the darkness, everything, and he didn't stop. And then he wrote these, and then he wrote this on the two commandments. And then pasukhaf hikishabachem esakol mitochachoshech. And when you heard the sound for the darkness, bahar ba'er ba'ish, and the man was burning with fire, really scary. But tikvuri laikol roshishitochem zizechem, and all of the heads of your tribes, the others came to close. Tomu, and you said, "Ain't Heranu Hashem Elokeinu Eskodov Eskodlov Eskolov Shemanu." Oh, Hashem, he showed us His glory, His greatness, and we heard His voice. Bitocha Eish, Hayom Ezevra Inu Ki Daber Elokeinu Sadav Achai. This day we see that we may live through God, though God has spoken to Him. We realize that today, but nevertheless, Vata Lama Namus. We don't want to die. Ki Sochlenu Eish Agdol Azos. If we continue hearing the voice of God, we're going to die. And right? So then what do you say? Pasuk Chavdalet? Kravata Ushma. You come close. You hear, Moshe, what God says. And Vatatada very later, you tell us what He's going to tell us. Okay? So, in other words, what's going on here? What's going on here is that the way Moshe is retelling the story of Sinai in Parakeh is that they had personal access to hear the Torah from God, and they were afraid, and they wanted Moshe to speak to them. A little different in Parak Dalet. The goal of Parak Dalet, I believe, is a warning for Avodah Zarah. So there the focus is, you heard a voice, but just remember, when you heard the voice, you didn't see a picture. God has no body. Just remember that. No physical attribute to God. Parakeh, the focus is, you had this direct experience with God, and you were afraid to continue that relationship. So why does Moshe remind them about this perspective? So remember, Moshe is about to die, and the people will not receive the direct word of God anymore. So what's the solution? So Parak Dalet is what? Don't worship idols, don't worship the sun, nothing physical, that's wrong. That's not the way to go, right? What's Parakeh? Parakeh is telling you about Torah Moshe, right? That's another one of the principles of faith, according to the Rambam. You have to believe in the Torah Moshe Rabbeinu. And Moshe is telling them the people themselves witnessed the transmission of Torah during Sinai. And out of fear, they asked Moshe to receive the Torah on their behalf, and they are committed to fulfill it. They committed themselves to fulfill it. So now Moshe, what's he going to do from Parakeh? I think to Parak Chav Zayin, he's now going to review with them these laws beginning in the next chapter. And Moshe is saying, I'm going to tell you all these laws, the key laws before I die. It's a review of a lot of the laws and maybe some new laws. And it's a question of what laws he includes, what he doesn't include. But he has to preempt that by saying, remember, remember what happened at Sinai, right? That you told me to hear the Torah on your behalf because you were afraid.
Rabbi?
Yeah.
Does that mean that if they weren't afraid, they would have heard the entire Torah?
Maybe. I mean, these things are hard to know. I think that there is a I think that is a plausible reading. I think the Mefarshim have, I think there are different takes on it, but it, I think a plausible reading, like, question, you know, God set it up like that. So you like had this happen, but God may have set it up like that. Now, if you think about it, God set it up such that they would hear something, so that would establish Moshe's credentials, but they also realize that there are limitations that they have. In other words, it's kind of like, we want you to try to experience it, but we also realize, you know, you have limitations. So it seems that way. It seems that if you just read the Torah, right? Like, would Hashem have continued to say more? Maybe, I don't know. Like, these things are hard to know, because all I know is that God set it up like that. That after the Ten Commandments, it's pretty clear what happens. They say to Moshe, "We can't handle it, Moshe. You hear the rest." And then what happens? The Moshe goes, he hears the rest. So God set it up. What would have happened had they not said that? Would he have said more to them? Maybe. Again, some say, so there's a Medrash which says that they were scared after the first two commandments, right? Because the first two are in first person, and the last eight commandments are in third person, or some of them. Like, it starts in the third commandments in third person. So at some point, they were too scared. God set it up. But conceivably, maybe. In other words, I think all that God needed to do is, again, you also understand, are the B'nai Israel worthy, you know, to hear the word of God, right? You have to be at a certain level to hear the word of God. Again, everyone had to hear the word of God. So one of the reasons is so that they would believe in Toras Moshe, as we're going to see. Okay? So if you look, you know, what's the purpose of Avodah Sinai? So there's slightly different formulations here. So the Ramban and the Rambam sort of say the same thing. The Ramban says, you know, Raki Shemer Lecha, be careful, pen tishkach dvarim, lest you forget these things. Az kishelot tishkachum, v'tasum alam mitasam, tachshu chachamim v'onim. That, what is it, when we're commanded not to forget Mamad Har Sinai? So Rashi says, don't forget the content. So if you don't forget the content, the Torah, the words, then you're going to be wise and chachamim v'onim. So, and if you are v'im ta'avsu osam mitok shikha, tachshu shotim. And if you twist them because of your forgetfulness, then you're considered foolish. In other words, yet according to Rashi, the Dvarim are the commandments themselves. But the Ramban says, "Eino nachon klal." This is not correct. Avol kasuv hazeh lefidati mitzvos lo taseh, hizir b'maod. So this is a mitzvos lo taseh. Ki kasher amar shenizhar b'chol mitzvos, v'nishmor achukim b'shmatim la'asosam. When Hashem commands us to do all the mitzvos, chazar v'amar rak ani basircha. What I want you to do, I want you to remember not the mitzvos themselves, not to observe the mitzvos. This is, don't forget where they came from. Don't forget, Shlo Tishkach Mamad Har Sinai, don't forget the Sinai experience. Someone has some background noise, so someone should just mute themselves. Okay? Don't forget the whole experience of the sounds and the thunder and God's glory which you heard from the fire. Right? So why? So because the goal is so that you're going to, and then he said the next line, the reason is because Hashem did this, so you'll teach. So you're going to remember to forget, you'll learn to fear God all your life. And the point is that if you look at the next paragraph, the second line, the end of the second line, Vatuels for mitzvah zos. The purpose of this mitzvah, Gedol Mo'od, is very important. Shibhayu divya Torah boy be later pi Moshe belvad. If only Moshe had heard everything from God. Afa pisha nevuoso nis amsa ba'oso sumosim. Im yaku, right? Even though Moshe performed all these awesome miracles, if Yaakov became a W Cholim Chalov, he's made a havoc with the Torah. But also later, also Moses, he kind of suffered believe on Hashem. Let's say someone down the road had the power of prophecy and he could perform some miracles. Now that's a debate. Can people perform miracles? Okay, but let's say someone could perform miracles or do something sleight of hand, whatever the case is, and he says something opposite to what Moshe said. He would bring doubt in the hearts of the people. But since you actually heard the Torah with your ears, and you saw it, whatever they saw something that clearly was God. Obviously, they didn't see it physical, but they saw the kolos, whatever that means. They sensed it. Eid Shav Ebsa'i, there was nothing in the middle. That's why Moshe here in Peri Hey says, Panim Bapanim, face to face. Now, it wasn't really face to face because God's not physical, but even though Moshe was there, it was only there because they were afraid, but it wasn't. There was no intermediate. They experienced it directly. Nachish kol cholek kol misafek. We can denounce anyone who argued, anyone who denied. Vinishakra, so we tell him he's lying. It's not going to help if he does miracles, because we know that he's lying, because we witnessed this, right? And the Rambam basically says the same thing in Hilchot Yisodei Torah, in Halacha Aleph. Moshe Rabbeinu lo aminu bo Yisrael b'bnei ha'otsu she'asa. Moshe Rabbeinu, B'nai Yisrael didn't believe him because of the signs he did. She'mamin al pi ha'osos, because it's all believed based on signs. Yesh believe will dofi. Because, I don't know if you've ever been to magic shows, right? There are people who can put on some pretty good magic. So he still has some doubts. Someone puts in a few good magic tricks, and he says, though, now I want you to follow this code of law, he still might be skeptical. So he says, all the signs that Moshe did in the desert was because of necessity. Lo lahavi ra'al nivua, not to bring a proof for his prophecy. Okay? Like he says he needed to split the sea, he needed to bring down the man, he needed to hit the rock, he needed to destroy Korach. So in the fourth line here, Uva, in the middle of it, Uva mehem minibo mamam har Sinai, so how do they believe har Sinai? Shine ro, velo zar, vazeni shamu, velo achar ha'esh, v'kos lapidi, v'hu nagash el rafel, v'kol mida very love. So what happened? Because we saw, and it was not nothing strange. Like, and our ears heard nothing else, right? We saw it, not a stranger saw. Our ears heard, no one else. We saw the fire and the sounds and the flames, and Moshe came close to the darkness, and there was this hakol medaber elav. There was a sound speaking to Moshe. Baruch shomim, we heard Moshe, leich emor lahem kaf lekaf. Tell them this and this. Now again, could it have been? Someone else, could Moshe have projected that sound? Maybe, I don't know. But apparently it was a sound that there was no doubt this was God. What did that sound like? Don't ask me, I have no clue. I don't remember. So, v'cheinu omer, panim v'panim divar Hashem echav. That's what it means, face to face Hashem spoke with you. Hashem didn't enter this covenant with your forefathers. Right? So then that's the point. Then the Rambam Halacha Gimel says the same thing. If another prophet comes and does signs and wants to deny Moshe's Torah, Moshe, we don't listen to him. So in other words, both the Rambam and the Ramban say the purpose of Mamad Har Sinai, and especially the way Moshe describes it in Perek Hey, is so that we believe Torah's Moshe, the Torah of Moshe is true. To make them remember, you were there at Sinai. Remember at Sinai, Hashem was going to tell you all the commandments, or he started telling you all the commandments, and then you said, no, we want to hear from you directly, Moshe. Okay? So that's the purpose of Har Sinai. Again, different than Perek Dal. Perek Dal is, don't remember the Sinai experience, nothing physical. Kuzari is a slightly different approach, a little bit different than the Rambam and the Ramban. And he says, I would say that the Ramban and the Rambam is basically for Klal Yisrael, that they should believe in Torah's Moshe. It's not for the outside world. Sefer Kuzari takes this one step further. And he says, because remember, the Sefer Kuzari was a philosophical work written by Rabbi Yehuda Levi. And in this book, the Chacham convinces this non-Jewish king to believe in the Torah. And he said the Torah has to be true because of Mamad Har Sinai. So he's using this as a proof. And the Kuzari says in Mamre Dalda Os Yudalef Hamamani Moshe Alav Hashalom Hemida Hamon Eitzel Har Sinai Leros Zaor Asher Ra'uhu. And Moshe had masses of people by Har Sinai to see the light, the fire, or the light which they saw. Ilu Hayucholim Ki Yucholt, as much as they could see. V'achar Ken Kar L'Shim Zken V'ro. Then he called the 70 elders and they saw something. It says V'yuru Asel Ki Yisrael V'achar. And then he had the 70s Kadim had in Nebuah. And then he, and if you look in the second, the fourth line in this passage, in the middle of it, he says, "V'nisrachaku hamachshavos haraos mina uma," and evil thoughts distance themselves from the nation. Sheyachshov ki anavu taina miyachid shetagba, right? That if someone who would claim that simply an individual said, you know, said that the prophecy was true. In other words, this was not simply one person coming down from heaven saying, God told me this. This is something that everyone, the masses of people saw. Ki lo yitached lavor haskamal al hahamonim hahem. Certainly, there is no way that anyone could have convinced, you know, all these people that he got a vision from God. No one, you're not going to be able to convince, you know, there's the mass revelation could not have been made up and, you know, and persuasive on a whole host of the nation to believe that. You think about this nation, they complain about everything. To convince them seems almost impossible, according to the Kuzari. Koshkin Shiravu, even, you know, look how many there were. V'chulam edim l'Moshe mezarzim al Torasso. And they all are witnesses to Moshe on his Torah. Again, you know, there are people who debate the Kuzari principle. But Rabbi Yehuda Levi basically is of the opinion that Sinai experiences the foundation of faith, because at that point Hashem revealed himself to the masses. Most religions are founded by charismatic leaders who claim to have experienced divine revelation. Judaism, on the other hand, claims that Hashem revealed his glory directly to the entire nation. The Kuzari argues that it's unreasonable that such a claim could be artificially invented. Therefore, Mamad Har Sinai must actually have occurred. What's clear is that both that the Ramban, the Rambam, and Yehuda Levi all agree that Mamad Har Sinai was necessary to establish a collective experience that is transmitted as a living tradition from generation to generation. According to the Rambam and the Ramban, the goal was to create a personal experience for the nation so there could be no mistake as to its authenticity. According to Rav Yehuda Levi, the claim of mass revelation can serve to prove even to non-Jews the authenticity of the Jewish nation. So that's Perek Dalid, the purpose of Mamad Har Sinai, of recollecting it, and Perek Hay, I think, with a totally different goal. Okay?
All right. In Perek A.